Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Welcome back to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier, and actually a lot more. Welcome to this episode. It's going to be a great one. Get comfortable wherever you may be. If you're a first-time listener, I welcome you, and we always welcome first-time listeners. I have to admit, you're going to probably become addicted. So you're getting into something that you don't even know how it's going to be totally addicting. And if you're a long-time listener or friend or whatever you may be, welcome back. It's great to have you. The reason I think it's going to be a fantastic show today is because I've got a kind of a superstar guest with me. This is amazing. Let me explain. Those of you that are longer-term listeners or have been with me for a while know that a short time ago, I spent 5 days at Vegetarian Summerfest at University of Pittsburgh in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. And it was an awesome experience, and I did some episodes from there. But I've got somebody here with me today that I actually met there. You're going to love this guy. I'm going to just bring him right in. I'll talk about him probably for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, but that's not going to do the show any good. His name is Mark Reinfeld. He's actually a multi-award-winning author. He was the executive chef of Vegetarian Summerfest. I want to talk to him a little bit about that. He must have been cooking for, I don't know, I'm guessing, we're going to ask him in a second, I'm guessing probably 1,000 people or so, incredible vegan food. He travels internationally. He conducts workshops all over the world, teaching people about becoming vegan, teaching people how to cook and prepare food properly. And he's just an all-around great guy. I met his wife. I met his baby. So Mark, are you with me? How you doing there? Welcome.
Hey, David. It's great to be on your show. It's good to connect again. It was wonderful meeting you at Summerfest.
It was a blast, Mark. And I had, you were like a true superstar there. I mean, I can't believe they let you walk around without security because, I mean, you were like the guy that was in charge of, and I really mean that. When I saw you for the first time kind of walking around and, you didn't have like escorts with you, I'm thinking like people are going to be coming up to you and getting your autograph and shaking your hand and getting pictures and asking you about recipes. I mean, this was a true event. So first of all, I want to congratulate you for the how many years have you been doing this in a row, being the executive chef there at Veg Summerfest?
This was my fifth year.
Wow. How did you score that gig? That's an amazing gig.
It was a great opportunity, and I definitely pushed myself beyond my comfort zone when I tend to say yes to things and then figure out how to work it out once it happens. So I had experience in a restaurant setting. We had a restaurant on Kauai, and we would do 100 or maybe for a big event 200 people. And this was at their peak. They had like 750 people at Summerfest and some of the past years. So I just applied and sent them some recipes and just took the dive. And now it's definitely gotten easier over the years.
Well, I just want to say from coming from me, I mean, I noticed a lot of things. The food was delicious. There were like two actual cafeterias where you can, I usually kind of went to the quieter, smaller one downstairs because I like having a little more space. The one upstairs was just packed. And so the food was amazing, but I can't even imagine what it takes to prepare, breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 5 days straight for 700 plus people. It was an amazing thing. So I want to congratulate you on not only, being the executive chef there, but the quality of the food that just came out of your kitchen was just amazing, Mark.
And it
did not go unnoticed. Trust me.
Thank you. It's definitely an honor to provide the food to such an incredible event. I encourage people who are interested to look into it. There are a lot of the top vegan educators and chefs and authors there, so it's a wonderful experience. And you may catch a glimpse of the infamous Dave Matto singing "Vegan on a Jet Plane," which is that's worth the price of admission itself.
Worth the price of admission. I love that. I totally love it. If I come back next year, which I hope I do, I've got some more songs I'm working on, so it's gonna be amazing. But Mark, let's talk about first, kind of go back to basics a little bit. You're a chef. You're an executive chef. You're an author. You know, you travel all over the place. People know you, and you do a lot of teaching. But tell me about your becoming vegan. How did that happen? How long ago? Tell us a little bit about that.
It was 1990, actually. I was on a kibbutz in Israel, and I started seeing animals in their natural setting. Like, I'd never really seen a baby cow before, and just they had baby chicks there, and several experiences on the kibbutz just opened me up to connecting with animals in the way that I just decided I didn't want to eat them anymore. So that was my journey. Then I learned more about the dairy and egg industry and the environmental impact and then the health benefits of a plant-based diet. So it's been a journey since then.
So did you, on the kibbutz, did you actually see the animals suffering? Did you see that firsthand, or you just saw animals walking around and you didn't want to see any harm done to them? What was the extent of that?
Have you eaten your lunch yet?
I have not eaten my lunch yet.
Okay,
go ahead.
Well, one of the tasks was we had to take the chickens and bring them from where they were staying and put them in crates. And it was a very horrendous experience. I had been eating chicken 5 to 7 days a week at that point. And after 10 minutes of, I won't go into the gory details, but it was, the chickens did not go willingly into the crate. So it was a pretty hardcore experience, and that started the process of eliminating that from my life.
You know, you get it. I get it. I don't understand how somebody that is privy to the information about the actual suffering and these animals, they just want to live their lives. They're innocent animals who have really committed no crime. And I still don't understand how anybody would want to take part in or be responsible for in the killing, the suffering of these animals. Mark, same with me. As soon as I learned what was going on out there through reading, through podcasts, through videos, my wife and I just one day we put our arms up. We said, "That's it. We're not involved in this anymore. I know enough. I'm not going to do a meatless Monday and ease into it." We just said, "We're out of this. We will never consume another animal product again as long as we live."
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a complex issue. I think there's a lot of layers to peel through in order to get to that decision, family traditions and senses of comfort and home and security. And so parts of our being may be aware of it, the impact and the cruelty, and other parts override it. So I think you were the low-hanging fruit at that time, and you're able to make the change right away. So congratulate you on that.
Yeah, I mean, it is complex because, Mark, most of my friends, I've got friends that I've had, they've been friends of mine for years, decades, and most of them are not vegan. And same thing with a lot of my family members. And so it is very difficult, during holidays or when you get together for social events. But I don't make any exceptions. If I go to somebody's house and they're serving something that's not vegan, I'll either bring something of my own or I will have eaten ahead of time. I make no exceptions. That's how strongly I feel about it. Tell me about becoming a chef. When did you decide to do that? Were you already a chef when you were in Israel at the kibbutz, or did you do that afterwards?
I was on the kibbutz in between graduating college and going to law school. I went to law school for a semester at NYU, and it was during the trip that year I traveled through Europe, was in Berlin when the wall opened, on the kibbutz in Israel, did a trek to Mount Everest, was in the India and the Himalayas. So during that trip, I became vegetarian and vegan. And then after a semester at law school, I realized that wasn't my path. So I moved out west with whatever fit in my car, basically. And I just started working in a health food store out there. And that's how I got into my culinary career, got started that way.
From a health food store. Let's take a step back and talk for a minute or two just about that. Because Mark, I've been doing this podcast, the David Matto Lifestyle Show, for about 3 years now or so. And I talk about you know, healthy eating, eating vegan. I talk about moving your body, exercise, doing yoga. You know, I talk about all the good stuff. But what you just said struck a chord because one of the things that is, and I talk to my listeners about this all the time, is happiness in our lives and doing what we want to do in our lives. And you went to law school for a semester, and somehow during that semester you realized that either that was not for you, or you couldn't see yourself being a lawyer or doing that for the rest of your life, and you decided to kind of take a step back and, wow, I'm just going to work in a health food store. And,
yeah, I didn't know at the time what the plan B was. I just knew that year of traveling I had spent like really cultivating these sense of joy and freedom and just connecting to feeling alive and the wonder of it all, like especially in the Himalayas. And so after a semester of law school, I just had a glimpse of what that path would have been. And at that point, I knew, like, it's cliche to follow the saying, follow your dreams, but it's actually, I think when you do tune into that and you listen to that inner guidance, it takes you in the direction that you need to go. So I didn't know what my plan B was. I just knew that I always, when I got to California, I knew that I always loved cooking. And so I just started out. And after a few years, I branched off and formed a consulting service, and then wound up, we opened the restaurant in Kauai. And then my career as a cookbook author occurred then as well. So when I left law school, I had no idea what the next phase was going to be at all.
So could you ever now look back and do you wonder what would have happened if you would have just stayed with the program? Maybe there was like some family pressure or whatever there may have been, social pressure. What do you think would have happened to your life if you just had stayed with that program and you'd be like a lawyer right now, wearing a suit every day, going into courtrooms? What would your life be like, do you think?
I think that if after what I had been through, that's a great question, challenging to project. I think I probably, there would have been that voice in my head that was saying, you know, this isn't for you, you know, there's something else. So that making that decision of just following my dreams in that way, it's been very fulfilling to know that's what, come what may, like that was a decision and that I listened to that part of myself.
Yeah, so I'm going to just take 15-20 seconds out, and I'm speaking right to my listeners now. Listen, you guys have heard this before. You've heard me talk about it. You're hearing Mark Reinfeld talk about it now. You've got to follow your dreams. You've got to listen to that inner voice. Listen to your heart. What's telling you something. Mark, I don't know if you know this or not. I used to practice dentistry for 13 years, and I the inner voice in my head told me that, hey, look, it's a great profession. I had a great practice, but it told me that, hey, Dave, you're not going to be doing this when you're 55, 60, 70 years old. You've got another direction you want to go in. And I listened to that voice, Mark.
Nice.
And
it's awesome.
That's why it's just what your story there. I love it. So congratulations.
Yeah. And there's no, you know, for me at that time, there was really no path to follow. I was like in the bush with my machete, kind of forging a path for myself. So it's been an amazing journey in that. One of the most deeply satisfying things that I could say about my life is that decision and that intention to listen to that part of myself.
Well, if I could say this, just observing you, and we just met for the first time at Vegetarian Summerfest, in PA, a short time ago. If I could give you my opinion, just observing, looking at you, looking at the work you're doing, looking at you like walking around, you seem, and not only that, but with your family, and you seem incredibly happy. There's not a question in my mind. You just seem like you got it going on. You seem like a real nice, modest guy, and you just have figured out how to live like your absolute best life ever. So I applaud you. I really, what you're doing,
thanks,
is
man.
Great, Mark. Talk to us
Thank
about.
You.
yeah, you're welcome. And I know you you've got this book that recently came out, Healing the Vegan Way. And you've got several other books, I believe, but your latest book, Healing the Vegan Way. Talk to me about that a little bit. What made you write that? What's it about?
It really explores the healing qualities of plant-based foods, and I like to say like the plants have the capacity to heal and transform our lives, and it's the culmination. I've always been interested in the healing quality of foods, and there's over 200 recipes, and I have really strong expert testimonials from the leading plant-based medical doctors and dietitians many of whom you probably heard at Summerfest. So Dr. Greger, Dr. Clapper, Brenda Davis, Juliana Haver. They gave really concise expert testimony, and I included 200 recipes that are showing you how to work with the plants. And there's a nutrient chart that talks about what plants provide what nutrients and what parts of the body they're good for. So it's pretty comprehensive. I feel I'm really happy with how it turned out, and it goes over some of the major conditions that people can prevent and reverse with plant-based diets, such as heart disease, diabetes, certain forms of cancer, high cholesterol. You know the list.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Sure. Got a lot of listeners. A lot of people are going to be listening to this show in particular. And a lot of them are plant-based. A lot of them are vegan. But a lot of them aren't, Mark. And speak to the right now. Those of you that are vegan, plant-based, you all know this already. But Mark, let's speak to the people that are kind of listening with a lot of curiosity. They're just not sure. They're still kind of, you know, there's a lot of social and family pressures out there. There's a lot of reasons why people just don't want to do this. So let's speak to those people for a few minutes. Why should they really consider leaving that standard American diet? You know, we call it the SAD diet, diet. Why should they consider leaving that diet and kind of entering the world of like this beautiful, wonderful, multicolored plant-based world?
Yeah, technicolor living.
Yeah.
I like to describe it as there's three different doors that you can go through when you're interested in becoming more plant-based. One is the health or medical door, one is the environmental or political door, and one is the ethical or animal rights door. And so usually it's one of those main reasons is what inspire people to include more plants. Once you enter the room, all the doors lead to the same room, and once you get into the room, you could learn about some of the other reasons of what led other people there, and they can become your own. So whatever your sensitivity is, if your health isn't as great as you would like it to be, there's just an incredible amount of evidence showing that plant-based foods are the way to create optimal health. So I'm a proponent of every little bit counts. So if you have a meal a week or a day a week of plant-based, you're going to start to feel the benefits. If you're tend to be environmentally inclined, if you do the research, you'll see that a plant-based diet is really the most sustainable way that we can feed ourselves and the way to ensure like a livable future for humanity. And those are the two main reasons. And then if you just start looking at animals differently, like look at your cat and your dog, and if you feel a connection to them, you could allow that to extend to other animals as well.
Yeah, when we visit these farm sanctuaries, we see that all these animals, they don't have to be just pets, but all the animals, the chicken, the cow, the pigs, they are just full of love, and they're smart, and they just want to live. They just want to live their lives like we want to live our lives. Mark, I know when I was at Summerfest, there was a kind of a buzz phrase going around. I heard a lot, and I want to ask you a little bit about this. The phrase is like food activism. People are talking about that. So describe what food activism is, and you know, if you want to go into a little bit of detail with it, feel free to.
Sure, thanks. So I love framing things in that way of referring to this as food activism, just like some people may join the Peace Corps or Food Not Bombs or Habitats for Humanity as a way to affect positive social change. Like for me, empowering people to prepare plant-based cuisine that tastes amazing is a way of another form of activism. So there's all the information is out there as to why including more plants is good for us. The key factor is having that taste good, because if it doesn't taste good, that the information isn't going to go very far. So that's why I love teaching people and empowering them how to prepare the plant-based food that tastes incredible. And you probably heard the saying, if you give a person a piece of tofu, you could feed them for a day, but if you show them how to bake the tofu, you could feed them for a lifetime, or some variation of that expression. And it really is empowering to see people take their health back into their own hands, and the benefits to the environment and for creating a peaceful world as well. So that's why I like to use the phrase food activism.
And you know, some of the things you can do with food, people think of eating plant-based or eating vegan is very, you know, boring, dull. There are a lot of things we can't eat. But I got to tell you something. So and I haven't told many people this because I'm not a dessert person, really. And my desserts are usually fruit. But your desserts that you prepared at Vegetarian Summerfest, I mean, let me tell you, they were addicting. I remember my wife kept going back for more and more and more. And of course, I would eat off of her plate sometimes. Uh-huh. And there was some, I mean, there was some chocolate. I don't remember the exact name. It was like very rich, but they were plant-based. Everything was made from plants. Everything was, I'm not going to say that, look, I don't know whether, maybe you'll disagree. I mean, I don't know whether the desserts are like the healthiest thing in the world, but right. I know there's no animal products in them, and they're absolutely better than eating like the typical pies and desserts and things that people eat for, you know, eat after a meal. I love them. So I had to kind of, put the brakes on a little bit, because I know you just can't eat too much of that stuff. But it's some of the foods, it's, and even your main meals, I mean, they're so tasty. People look at me and they say, "Well, Dave, I know you can't eat blank." They'll like, "Well, it's not that I can't eat blank. I choose not to eat blank. I don't want to eat. I don't want to eat bacon. I don't want that stuff. It's not that I can't eat it.
That's the big myth. I mean, it's one of the big myths. Like, because it's not like we can't. It's we choose not to. And for me, there's no need to sacrifice. Just because you make that decision doesn't mean you still want to have like the flavorful, enjoyable meals. So that's why I do feel it's crucial to be able to say, like, we're not depriving ourselves of anything, really. No flavor. We can create any flavor we want to. And now with the world of plant-based cheeses, and I like to say the desserts are on the cutting edge of the revolution also, because a lot of times you can create these amazing flavors and people don't know that they're plant-based. So that I particularly enjoy that.
We are certainly not depriving ourselves of any. I mean, it's just I am not walking around hungry. Trust me. And the food we eat is just, it's absolutely delicious. And I can say that, and you can say that, Mark, because I like to say to people, we've been on both sides. Mm-hmm. You know, I was an omnivore for most of my life, and so I've done it both ways. So if anybody out there is listening and you haven't tried this yet, you know, you can't really speak to it fairly unless you really give it a try. So it's just, I mean, there's no turning back for me. Trust me. I feel better. I feel healthier than I've ever felt in my life. And not only that, you know, I'm proud that I'm saving some animals. Mark,
A lot. It's fulfilling on so many levels.
It really is.
Once you try it, your body just keeps telling you to keep going.
Oh yeah, there's no way to turn back. There's zero way to turn back. There's really not. I know a lot of people might be listening to this and say, you know, this sounds good, and you're a chef, but I'm not really sure what to cook at home. What am I going to do? So, any like quick tips, like really simple things that you can give some of my listeners to just some kind of little ammunition there that they can prepare some like kind of easy meals, tasty meals at home.
Sure. Yeah, and I work with people that have no experience in the kitchen up to like certified cordon bleu chefs. So I've worked with people of all skill levels, and it's really a lot easier than people think. And if you just have to keep persisting and not being hard on yourself, there's a psychological component of just being gentle with yourself as you experiment. And you have to know that you do have that capacity to create food that tastes really good. So the psychology, I think, is really important. And then the two things I encourage people when they want to get started is just start getting more creative with your salads and experimenting with new veggies to put in your salad, and also doing like smoothies, green smoothies, where you're mixing up different fruits and different greens. And that's a way to just get your palate used to these flavors. And then things like making spice blends, I encourage people to do. You can make like a Moroccan blend, an Ethiopian blend, Mexican, Italian, Indian, and then you keep these spice blends on hand. So even sprinkling a spice blend on some rice or quinoa, you're going to take it to the next level. And so the books that I put out, the 30-Minute Vegan series, are geared towards people that are just starting to work with the foods, and the meals are done in 30 minutes or less, most of them.
Sounds unbelievable. Well, you asked me earlier in the show if I ate yet. No, I didn't eat yet, and you're making me very, very hungry, because you're also preaching to the choir, because I love this stuff. I can't talk about it enough. Mark, So you've got several books out there, your latest book being Healing the Vegan Way. If anybody wants to learn more about you or find out about some of your books, or how can they get your books, what's the best way they can do that?
Through our website, veganfusion.com, you could sign up for our newsletter. We send out free recipes and information about events. I travel internationally doing these classes and training. So, and I also have Vegan Fusion certified trainers. I know you met Kelly and Madeline. They're your duet and your vegan on a jet plane. They call themselves Fusionettes. They took my teacher training. They have an event coming up in Maryland in September. And so just there's continually new events on the calendar. So veganfusion.com.
Okay, great. So I want you to go to, make sure you go to veganfusion.com to find out about what Mark is up to, find out about more about his books. And I really invite you to come next year, because I know Mark will be there. I'm sure Mark will be back. I'll be back there to Vegetarian Summerfest, which is like basically a 5-day fun-filled time where that you see some of the best speakers, the best experts on the planet talking about being plant-based. They've got vendors there. It's like a 5-day summer camp almost. It's amazing. I met some incredible people, and not only that, you will get to experience and taste some of the most delicious vegan food on the planet. I guarantee that. Mark, what's next for you? What do you have coming up over the next few months or a year? What's going on? What's in your future?
Well, I'm doing more of these trainings. So I have some training scheduled here in Denver in November. I'm doing a new workshop based on the book Healing the Vegan Way. That'll be offered in Portland. And we have this online culinary class for people who can't make it to an event. It's a 10-part program where you can learn the basics, and you could download a training manual, and there's videos up there, and that's all available on the website.
Well, congratulations for everything you have done. You've accomplished quite an incredible amount of stuff, and you've got stuff going into the future in your books and your training. And Mark, I can't wait to see you back. If not before, I can't wait to see you back.
Yeah, let's definitely meet up before. And that was great meeting you. I loved giving you that brief glimpse into the kitchen.
You remember that. That made my day. That was just incredible. Because I asked Mark, I said, how do you prepare food for all these people? So Mark was kind enough to say, hey, come on into the kitchen. Let me show you what's going on. It was an amazing experience. So Mark, thanks for taking time out of your busy life. I know you got a lot going on, and I know you're doing a training right now in Colorado. So thanks so much for being able to take time out of your life to spend time on the David Maddow Lifestyle Show. I invite you back anytime.
Man, I'll take you up on that.
Well, believe me, I would love to have you back. And I'm not saying that just to say we will absolutely have you back in the very near future, Mark. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David. Best luck to everything you're doing.
Okay, and to my listeners, we'll see you next week. Remember, a new episode comes out every single week, the David Maddow Lifestyle Show, every single Monday. So make sure you follow us. Make sure you download on iTunes. And until then, have a fantastic week.
Thanks for listening to the David Maddow Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.